Virgin, there we go.
Ah.
Okay, the recording is in progress, and we will not be recording the general discussion afterwards, the sharing. This is our wonderful speaker today on April 14th. It's Katrina. So, Katrina, yeah. We will, would somebody like to be a timer for us today? No? Hang on a second and I'll get that going. We'll say 20 minutes, Katrina, and then we'll open it up for general
just,
sharing.
And I don't know if I'll be able to talk for 20 minutes, okay? I'll just do the best I can.
I understand. Yeah. You still get the prize. It's okay.
Oh, good. But what's the prize? I want to know.
After you finish speaking.
After I finish. And yeah, just let me know when it's 15.
You want to know 15. Okay, hang on. Yeah. All right, timer is starting now. Please go ahead.
Can't believe I'm doing this, but So let's see. I'm Katrina. I'm trying to recover from depression and anxiety. I'm 68. I don't know if I was always depressed, but I was sexually abused when I was young, and I don't really know what age. Like, it could be 5, it could be 9. I think it went on for a few years anyway. So I think I've always been kind of depressed and anxious. And I turned to food when I was very young. When I was about 9 years old, I started having an eating disorder. I was real miserable. I grew up in France. My parents did the best they could. You know, I had a raging father, a codependent mother who was loving but could not protect us. And my dad was loving too. And he did the best he could, but he would go into those fits of rage that were really scary. And I think I was like, what do they call it today? Because of my abuse, school was really, really hard. I felt really victimized at school. I have a word for that today. I don't remember what it is. I was bullied. I was bullied because I was a girl. I wasn't beat up, but I was bullied emotionally. And then I was bullied at home from my older sisters and then my dad with her, you know, raging fits. So I was not a happy child at all. And when I do those visualizations, I was just trying to do one, a Deepak Chopra thing, you know, think of a happy memory in your childhood. I have a really hard time. I know there were happy times. I know. I mean, I was loved. I know there were happy times, but I can never think of them in those meditations, you know? But maybe it's just my depression only focusing on all the negative stuff. You know, I know there were happy times. Actually, one memory that I liked is I grew up in Paris, and my dad would take me to this merry-go-round, old-fashioned wooden merry-go-rounds, you know, and in those days, there was this little pom-pom thing you could catch, and when you caught it, you would get a free turn, and I was very competitive, and I was always winning free turns of a merry-go-round, and my dad would wait for me, and that's one of the sweetest memories that I have. So anyways, school was not a happy time. I felt bullied. And I turned to drugs. Also, I did quite a bit of drugs, mostly like, it was the 60s, 70s. So, you know, all the 60s drugs, LSD, all that stuff. And basically, my dream was always to come to America. It was the hippies days. You know, I wanted to go to San Francisco and wear flowers in my hair and do heroin. You know, that was my goal in life, to become a heroin addict, you know, in America. So after graduation, I did come to America for a year, and but I wanted to go to San Francisco. I ended up in Minnesota in a very religious family, so it wasn't quite what I wanted. I still managed to do a lot of drugs, but by the grace of God, whom I did not believe in, I did not find heroin, and that's really good because I would be dead. But I did find quite a few other drugs, and then I came back to France after a year. And I don't know, I just kind of, well, mellowed out on the drugs. I didn't stop completely, but I mellowed out. I loved America. I really felt like I was made to live in America. I felt really, I think America saved my life. You know, I felt a lot more accepted over there. I gained a lot of weight. And, you know, in France, if you, you know, slightly overweight, it's like, you know, you're obese. But in America, it was okay to be overweight, you know, and I felt really liberated around my body and my eating disorder, even though I gained like 30 kilos. I mean, I gained a lot of weight, but somehow it was okay in America. But when I came back to France, people looked at me like I was a beast, you know. So let's see. Then I moved to Germany for a few years. I ended up marrying a GI, went back to America. And things got better for me after I moved back there. I stopped doing drugs. Eating disorder was always I was out of control. In Germany, I was really depressed. So I was really into love addiction. You know, I was trying to find acceptance and love through, through men. So being married was better. I was pretty good when I was married. You know, I was trying to control my eating disorder. I was not doing any drugs, and my depression was better. But then I got divorced. That was my choice. So I got really depressed again. Always, you know, we'd go back into love addiction. Did not go back into drugs. I was able to stop by myself. I didn't get into 12 steps for drugs, but the food was really bad. The food and the love addiction. So then I moved to another state, and I had lost a lot of hair because of my eating disorder. So I was really depressed, because all I wanted to do was be young and cute and, you know, attract men. And it's hard when you're a woman and your hair is really thin. It was really, really hard. And I went to see a therapist. I was going to the university, and I told him, and he had no idea how to help me. And of course, I know today that the only solution was spiritual, but he didn't know that. So he had no idea how to help me. And so I got married, and as usual, you know, I got better while I was married, but then I got divorced again. Again, it was my choice. And let's see, I know I'm jumping over stuff, but that's okay. 28, I got really severely depressed, mostly around work. I couldn't find a job. And that's the only time I have the kind of depression where I want to go out and see people and do things. And I know it's not usual. I know most depressed people I know, including people I hear in this group, have a depression that makes them want to isolate. But it's never been that way for me, except 4 days when I was 28, when I just couldn't get out of the house. It was really, really hard. So because of that, I understand what people mean when they say I can't get out of the house. But usually for me, it's the opposite. When I'm really depressed, I got to get out. I got to get out. I got to see people, whatever, go to movies, go for a walk in nature, be with friends. Right away, I feel better. Because a lot of my depression is about loneliness. You know, I think that's why when I'm in a relationship, I'm a lot better. So, 28, I got really, really depressed. That was before my second marriage, actually. So then I got married, felt better, but always, always, always struggling with my eating disorder. That was really bad. I found OA also when I was 28, but because I was atheist, I just, the God stuff, just, I just couldn't deal with it, you know. And it's too bad, because it did help me. I only went to 2 or 3 meetings, and it was helping me, you know, having people who understood being out of control over food, but I just couldn't handle the gut stuff. So I left, and the miracle for me came. It was really strange how your power does things. I had gone back to the university in the US. I was living in Arizona by then, and I was taking this creative writing class. And the teacher said, write about something you've always wanted to know about. Don't write about something that you already know about. And I always wanted to know about yoga. And in those days, no, it wasn't like today, everybody's doing yoga. You know, this was like 40 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever. Nobody knew about yoga. So I got all these books. And through those books, I found out about Hinduism and Buddhism. And that really changed my life. I started meditating, and I had I would call it a spiritual opening. You know, for the first time in my life, I started believing in something greater than myself. And that changed my life. That completely changed my life. I stopped smoking cigarettes. I stopped doing drugs. I was still doing some drugs, you know, I was bartending at the time, so people were handing me, you know, lots of stuff. I stopped everything. It did not help me with the food, unfortunately, but it helped me with all the other stuff. And so then I had gone to, you know, I get confused with the dates, but it doesn't really matter.
Katrina, I'm going to give you a 6-minute warning right now.
Okay. And so are we at 6 minutes now?
We are just ticking down. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Well, that's good, because now I'm getting to the better part, you know. So yeah, my life really changed after that. I stopped hanging out in bars, went back to school to become a therapist, became a therapist in treatment centers, mostly to try to heal my own eating disorder, which was still pretty out of control. But it did help. Becoming a therapist did help. I was able to see how I had really been sexually abused. You know, I never really faced up to that before. So I started doing my own therapy work. I was able to go back to 12-step meetings and, without being turned off by the word God, because I did have a sense of a higher power. So I got involved in lots of different programs. You know, when I was around 36, got divorced for the second time, I got involved in CODA and SLA, and that really helped me leave my dysfunctional marriage. So went to Al-Anon. I feel like I grew up in 12-step meetings. You know, I feel like I grew up in Al-Anon, SLA, and, you know, all these wise, mostly women, you know, will help me grow up and get out of dysfunctional relationships. So let's see, after that, got involved into some more relationships, but they were much healthier. After that, I started attracting healthier people, you know, not druggies and alcoholics and all that stuff like I had in the past. So life got better, but I was still struggling with depression and anxiety, but on and off. And then I think what really triggered my last depression, I've been really in depression for the past, since I turned 50, and I'm 68. So I've been struggling for the past 18 years. And I was really, I get distracted when people write messages. So I'd rather you wait until the end. Thanks. I have ADD. I get distracted really easily. So leaving my job, I got really burned out from being a therapist because, you know, I had not dealt with my own stuff really. And I was trying to give what I couldn't give. So I quit, which was good. But at the same time, it was like losing my family, because my job, you know, my colleagues had been like my family. And that's what got me really, really depressed. I decided to move back to France. It was a choice to move back. It was hard, but I don't regret it. I don't regret living here. There's good things and bad things. So what can I say? You know, it's 10 years ago, I got really, really severely depressed. I was suicidal for a year. I have not been suicidal. I have not had any suicidal thoughts for the past 10 years. So I'm really happy about that. The winters are really rough here in France. I get depressed in the winter. The summers are better. I'm not able to take medication anymore because of the side effects. So in some ways it's hard, but in some ways I'm kind of glad, because it's really making me go down to, you know, I really, really, really have to work on myself. So I joined DA about a year and a half ago. It's really helped me tremendously, because loneliness is such a big part of my depression. I found a family in DA. I was always trying to figure out what to do in the evening, because the meeting is at 6:30 in the evening for me. I have chronic fatigue, so I don't go out at night, but it's the time of the day where I really wanted to be with people. And now it's great, because every day that I can, when I'm not working, I can be with you all. So that's really helped a lot.
You have about 2 minutes, Katrina.
It's really helped me stay off the meds. So today, you know, I'm not recovered from depression. I'm okay. You know, I get up in the morning. I fight my negative thoughts. I think about everybody in DA. How we all working on this? Like, no, sense spots. You know, try to think of all the things I'm grateful for. So I get up. I go to meetings in the morning. I go to meetings from other fellowships if I need just to have contact. And then once I'm up and I've gone to a meeting, usually my days are okay. You know, I try to see at least one person each day. I go for walks every day. I eat well. You know, I meditate every night. I mean, I have a sponsor. I really work hard. I mean, I really, really work the program. You know, I watch my thoughts all day long, try to turn my negative thoughts over to my higher power. And I have faith that, you know, I'm okay, but I'm still kind of depressed and anxious, you know, even though I don't have suicidal thoughts. But I really have faith that I'm going to get better, you know, because for me, the spiritual program is, you know, the promises, DA and other spiritual path that I'm on, they're really telling me I'm going towards joy and peace and light. And I believe that, you know, with ups and downs, I believe I'm going towards the light. So on one hand, I'm scared because I'm getting older and that really scares me. I'm alone, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, I feel like I'm going towards the light. So, you know, it's one day at a time. It's a lot of work. And but I do have faith and hope. So thank you.
Ah, that's just perfect, Katrina. Thank you. That's time and